Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Welcome to episode 62 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. The Red Sox split an all-important two-game series in Cincinnati. Joey is back in the building. How you doing, Joey?
Yeah, good, dude. Needed that split.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I was saying right before this series. If you go back and listen to the series preview that we definitely did for this series,
yeah,
it was all me saying, like, if we can just split it, if we can just get one of these games against the Cincinnati Reds, I'm going to feel a lot better about this team right now.
Yeah, I remember you were saying it so much, and I'm just like, Joey, like, stop putting pressure on him. Like, I know this is a huge series mm-hmm. here, and I know there's a lot on the line. Again, we've talked mm-hmm. about it, implications. Tons of implications going on in the big sense. And yeah, it went down, I think, the way. Have all these two-gamers gone this way? Well, no, they got swept by the Braves. I say that. Yeah. They probably lost, like, all the two-gamers. So I'd have to go back.
They split the other Red series.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Two-gamers suck. We've already talked about this. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to say right off the top here is we were mentioning it before we recorded. Joey Votto is the coolest guy. Forget baseball player. I've always just wanted to be buddies with Joey Votto. Like, he just
doesn't he
just seem like the coolest dude ever? During this game, game two here, in the big sense, Joey Votto is with the fans, and here's the big difference. Now, the Red Sox, and I know the Red Sox do this a lot when seasons go poorly, which luckily for us doesn't happen too often. Remember 14 and 15, they were doing stuff where it's like players take selfies with the fans and like they're on Lansdowne. Or I think it was, what, at that point it's Yawkey, now it's Jersey. And they incorporate, you know, they do giveaways and all that stuff. You got to have people happy when times are tough. This isn't what Joey Votto was doing. Joey Votto, and of course the Reds are significantly out of it. I think they're like 30 under or wherever they are. Mm-hmm. Votto was just chilling, man. Like, he's on the IL, and he's just hanging out with the fans. I think he was having a couple bevs. Looked like he was enjoying himself a little bit. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like, you just can't really teach that of a star. I know Joe Kelly did it when he was suspended after the Tyler Austin fight, and you just don't really see that ever, though. And for someone like Votto, who I think is a pretty obvious first ballot Hall of Famer, for him to just be hanging out in the crowd with the fans is the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. I love that.
I do too, man. I love Joey. He's somebody who's like unapologetically himself, and I think we use that a little too much. We say, like, oh, this guy's himself because he always eats chicken before games.
He's this
just
guy.
A quirky guy. Listen, this guy, sometimes he, you know, he'll show up to the ballpark and he's drinking a milkshake.
This
guy walks to the beat of his own drum. It's like, nah, Joey Votto is out here like just being like incredibly open about the kind of person that he is, about like the kind of brain that he's got, and then just like you said, walking out there. I didn't think it was him at first.
Oh, I did.
I'll say this:
he's pretty recognizable.
He's got his beard looked like it doubled in size in a day.
Yeah,
and I was like, "What happened there?" So I did think it was an impersonator at first. It wasn't until I saw somebody on Twitter who had, like, taken a selfie with him. I was like, okay, that's Joey. Yeah, like, up close, I'm sure that's him. Because I had the thought, too, like, there's no way he's actually doing that. Because that's a first ballot Hall of Famer just walking around the Great American Ballpark.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly what he was doing, man.
That's a park I want to get to. And it looks really cool. But it's also empty every game. It's like, there's something about that where, regardless of how good your park is, when it's empty, it takes away like 30 to 40% of the coolness. And I'm really talking about Camden Yards. When I've been there the last like 4 or 5 years, and obviously they were in the hunt this year and had some really good crowds, even though there were still some times where like 3 or 4 games out in the last couple weeks, and it's back to kind of being empty. It's like, come on, Baltimore. Like, I know football's almost back, but like, you did not expect to have a team this good. It would be nice if you showed up to more of the games down the stretch.
Dude,
but
I was cutting up some footage earlier, and I was working with some Reds footage. And
you were cutting up some footage?
Yeah, it's my job.
What do you mean you were cutting up? Oh, for Beat the Streak?
For Beat the Streak.
Well, you threw me off the Reds. I was like, what are you doing cutting up Reds footage?
Yeah, man. Oh, man.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. This is what kept Joey out of the PV episode. It's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm struggling, dude. I'll be fine though. Don't worry about me, guys. Just send your well wishes and maybe some tasty treats to my house. I'll put my
leave your address right here.
Show notes. Yeah. Right. It's down below. What was I saying? Oh, I was looking at Reds footage, dude.
Classic.
And I went to pull something, but it was like I was looking for a recent clip. And as I watched it, I was like, "Oh, this is 2020. I can't use this."
Yeah.
And then looked at the date, and it was 2022, and I had to watch it back and be like, "Oh, I guess there are fans here." Kind of. It must have been like a weekday day game, man. Because I mean, this was like, it was a home run to left field, and nobody caught it. It just sat there.
It took me too long to realize you meant nobody in there. I'm slow right now, man.
That's what I meant by 2020. I mean,
no, it made perfect sense.
Fans must be not allowed in the doors. No, they are.
It could have sold out. It had the capability of it, but it was probably like 10%. It's just sad to see some of these, right? For especially road games for the Sox, where it's like a lot of times, and Camden's another example of that. I know I already mentioned it, but I'm just saying it doubles as a park where you could have majority Red Sox fans for some of these games. Now, not this year, of course.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer for those players. Like the Rays is another one. It's like,
just a
bummer to like show up at your home ballpark and be like, man, they are cheering for the other team, aren't they?
Yeah, and I saw the Astros clinch the AL West in Tampa, which feels weird, by the way. Like there are certain AL teams where you're like, oh right, like you're both in the same league. Astros at Tropicana feels very interleague-ish. That does not feel like they're in. Does this make any sense what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, because every time we go to the Trop, I feel like we're the only team that goes to the Trop.
I know. Doesn't it feel like the only games are against the Red Sox there?
Because it feels like, oh man, I can't believe this is happening to us, man. I can't believe we have to play in this dump.
Yeah.
Like a lot of teams do.
No, there's everybody a lot of teams that do. And I know the Astros were in the NL for a while there, which it made no sense. Do you remember that? By the way, when the NL Central had 6 teams and the AL West had 4, I'm like, guys, crazy idea. Have one of those Central teams go to the AL West. They're like, oh, good idea. But yeah,
you gave them that idea?
I did, yeah. I told Bud Selig, I was like, here's the deal. I've been crunching these numbers, and if you minus 1 from 6, it equals 5 for both the AL West and the NL Central.
I never would have thought of that, dude. That's props to you.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Dusty Baker high five thing. Like, that's my fun fact, is I'm the reason why every division has 5 teams now. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I just a quick update here. This segment's called Steve Update. I am in the Bronx right now. What is this sponsored by? Do we have a sponsor for this segment?
I'm pretty sure this is Spencer's Toothpaste.
Spencer's Toothpaste, that's right. There was a kid in BR named Spencer that I did not like.
Is it because he was nonstop talking about his paste?
Nah, he was mean to me. Being mean is like so specific.
You had a work bully?
I had a work. This was 7 years ago, but I had a work bully, and it felt weird. I don't think I had been bullied since like middle school, where I wore a Red Sox shirt every day. Which was, looking back on it, was kind of funny bullying. Of just be like, Noma! Like, it really wasn't that bad. I'm like, don't say the name. No, it was probably worse than that. But anyway, in the Bronx right now, they were supposed to have the media game on Thursday, got a late invite. I felt bad, Joey. I really tried for you to be in this game, and I know you had mentioned like, hey, doesn't like, you know, you weren't gonna be able to get down here. You're coming off of New Orleans. I get it, but I had your back, Joe. I wanted you to be able to play in this game. And then it doesn't even matter because I was in the train coming down to New York. I left around 1 on Wednesday. I was pretty ecstatic. Wanted to play in this media game for a long time. Haven't been able to get in the Fenway one yet because that is a hot ticket. And it's a seniority thing too, and I get it. If you've been around, you know, the Pete Abes of the world, all those guys, they want to play in that game. They've been doing this for a while. I get it. But for this one, I was super excited and then get the email during the train ride to New York that the game is canceled because it's going to rain tomorrow. And it reminds me how annoying the rain has been this season. I mean, it happens every year, but I feel like content-wise, the rain is really it's messed up a lot of stuff, and it just pisses me off to no end. So ended up in New York a night early and just went to Yankee Stadium to see if Aaron Judge was going to make history. He did not make history. Left a little early, which is so against my DNA, thinking that they weren't going to get... Oh, it's like, oh, he's not going to bat in the ninth because they're up. It's all good. Oh, wait a second. The Pirates are terrible. So he did get up in the seventh and eighth inning. I left after the seventh inning AB. But luckily they walk him, so don't miss that. We'll talk a little Judge in the series preview. But I say all this to say that I hate Yankee Stadium, and it's the absolute worst. And we've talked about this before.
Is it the worst? You've been to the Trop. Is it the worst?
No, it's not the worst. But I'm more like, oh, it's the worst, man. It's the worst. It's not the worst, but it's the worst.
It's the worst.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it takes forever to get in there. It takes so long. And this is for I understand the Judge thing, but it's a Wednesday game against the Pirates. And it takes forever to get in there. I was just trying to get chicken fingers. And that process took like an hour because I was almost at the front of the line. But then Judge was coming up and I didn't want to miss it. So I left the line and then had to come back in. And then I get the chicken fingers and I'm like, do you have any dipping sauce? And this older lady is like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. We only have cheese. And I'm like,
what?
You only have cheese? Their dipping for the chicken fingers was cheese.
What?
It was insane. And I look back and there's a bunch of
you
cups
don't have
of
ketchup?
There's a bunch of cups of like melted cheese. I'm like, what is going on here? So I do
sorry,
remember
we only have cheese.
We only have cheese, sweetheart. I don't know. I made her Southern for some reason. But yeah, we walk further down, I'm there by myself. Walk further down to where we did a food review earlier in the season, you and I.
Yeah.
Because
I
remember they do have the sauces. Chicken. They got some sauces there. So okay, got some barbecue and it wasn't that bad. That's the thing that sucks about Yankee Stadium, and no one really cares that much about it. I talk about it every season. But the chicken fingers and fries are very good there. But their dipping sauce selection is trash. So it's like, what a waste of time.
I mean, it sounds like they don't even have a dipping sauce selection at some places.
At some places, they just have cheese, honey.
Yeah, they're like, we got cheese and hand sanitizer, man. That's all we
pick,
got
pick
for
one,
you.
Bro,
those
I don't
are
know,
your options.
Whatever you think is better. but yeah, I'm bummed that the media game's not happening. It's really sad. But we'll be here Thursday for Sox-Yankees, and we'll talk about that in the preview. I know, yeah. Joey, we talked a lot when you were hopping on in NOLA about the Plawecki thing. And so here's the deal. I feel like internally I've gone back and forth in this a little bit, but I've basically stayed in the lane of it's still not bugging me that much, and it never really was bugging me that much. And I tried to get upset about it, and I was like, I really can't.
You tried? You sat down and were like, let's get pissed
about this. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everything's been bad the last like 2 months, all the news with this team. Like, what's been the best news? What's been the best Red Sox news of the last 2 months?
Bayo looks good.
I think it's Bayo. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably... Kike extension.
I guess. I'd take Bayo, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Bayo looking good.
Just for the,
is,
you know, the implications
it.
That has. And then I guess Bogey's chance of a batting title. But even Casas, I mean, where is Tristan at this point?
Oh, yeah. Casas getting called up has got to be it.
That's true.
But, I mean, he's gone 0 for 16 in his last 16. With
can you,
two,
you hear that? Can you hear that?
Oh, big time I can hear that. Oh, I'm going to talk like it's not happening. He's gone 0 for 16 or 2 for 18. I think in his last 18 with two walks and like two singles. So
he is hitting 079. That is, yeah, I'm no baseball expert, but that's not great, Joey.
No. I mean, it was cool enough when he had that homer. That was cool. Yeah. But I mean, it's just a lot of ground balls. He's not even like lining out hard or like, you know, whatever, getting caught on the warning track. Yeah. He's just not making good contact at all. So that was cool when it happened. And obviously, like, I don't think that this says anything about him as a player. But if you have to get excited about one thing right now, it's probably Bayo.
Yeah, probably is. But about the Plawecki thing, I know we've already talked about it, but it's still, I mean, that story stuck around for a while. And I was, I saw Red Sox Stats tweeted out that Cora had addressed it on our buddy Brian Barrett's pod, now with the Ringer, yeah, off the Pike. And so I listened to it, and I was glad Cora handled it the way that he did, but he was pretty definitive in saying, like, that he was stunned at the reaction. Like, he was very surprised at the reaction that it got. And the quote I
from the fans?
Yeah, we got to stop. What is going on here? Is this, like, the biggest fire of all time?
It's just, you're, what's going on? What's going on? Are you okay?
Can
are you,
you
on
can
fire?
You hear that?
Yeah, it sounds like fire trucks.
Dude, I remember recording in Manhattan. We were my apartment was right by, like, a firehouse, and this would happen all the time.
Terrible call.
And it
Terrible
would drive
call.
Me absolutely nuts. But hey, in the Bronx, it's happening. Whatever. It's all good. And for those asking, oh my God, you're staying in the Bronx? Yeah, it was the last second trip, so in the Bronx. It's all good. Whatever. Cora had
what
said,
were you saying? Yeah, Cora, yeah.
So this it's is the quote that was interesting. This is the quote that was interesting to me. He goes, I hate the fact that people are just pointing the finger at Haim. That's not the case. Communication on this has been going on for a while. I was part of the process. I was part of the decision, and Kevin knows it. So he very specifically was like, hey, this should not be as big a story as it is. He then addressed the Evaldi and Hill comments. And said a big reason why they were upset is because they had left early that day. I think Hill had to pitch the next day, and Nate had left. And so they got the news when they were home. Understandable, that's going to have you feeling a type of way. Apparently, like, 20 of the Sox guys, and I know they think they said this on the broadcast of Monaco, but, like, 20 of those the dudes on the Sox, bro, stuck behind and had a couple bevs in the clubhouse, and we're talking about the good old days, which sounds like a blast. That would be
fun.
That
sounds great. I want to have a big league career just so I can get cut.
Just so I can get cut and have a couple brews in the clubhouse with the boys. Imagine, like, what was your life goal? To make the bigs? But no, I'm not done yet. That's not the point. The point is to get cut so that I can hang out with the boys in the clubhouse and have a few beers. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, work so hard to get there, and then I want to stop working so I can get cut ASAP.
Yeah, so Cora was pretty definitive on it, and oh my God, are you kidding me?
Not hear about the Bronx fires tonight?
Oh my God,
you not open
dude.
Twitter, dude?
What is going on right now, bro? All right, hopefully that's it. This has to be the biggest
You're like,
fire.
Oh,
of all
I got to do a podcast tonight. I'll get a place in the Bronx. That'll be quiet.
That'll be quiet. It was quiet for like an hour before recording, and then the fire team. That's what they call them.
Yeah, the rescue heroes.
The rescue heroes were like, let's screw this guy. He's the worst. All right, hopefully that's the last one. But anyway, long story long, I still wasn't too, you know, beat up over it. Sox are a last place team. There were 2 weeks left. You want to give some guys some looks at the big league level. Understandable, they're out of the race, but having these games is more important than not having them. And Cora was kind of stunned that it was a story. I do at the same time get where you're coming from, Joey. I'm not even saying your approach to it's bad. It's just that I think it became a bigger story than it probably needed to be.
Did I say something about it on this show?
On this show, you were pretty definitively angry.
When I was in New Orleans?
Yeah, you were pretty pissed.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so here's the thing. And that's how I feel about it.
Dude, is this the biggest fire? Am I about to burn to the ground? Like, what?
Wow.
We're keeping this all in. My apologies if you're listening on the road. This is going to be annoying. But anyway.
Yeah, would you check that out?
Well, we got breaking
testing,
news.
They're testing all the fire engines in the Bronx.
In the Bronx. Oh, man.
No, what I was going to say, dude, is Cora stepping in and saying what he said kind of feels like you're like arguing with your mom. And then dad comes in and he's like, that's enough.
That's it.
Yep. And you're like, okay. Yeah. No, sorry. No, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It was like immediately uncomfortable. I read that when he was like, hey, I was a part of this too. I was like, Okay, it's good. I mean, I get it, totally get it now. I still feel the way I feel about it. I still disagree with it. I guess I'm, for whatever reason, probably because of the fear and implications of Cora, I am a little less riled up, and the fact that I'm not talking to you from Bourbon Street, I'm not as riled up.
Yeah, you were pretty animated.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. No, you guys had fun. Hey, it's a bachelor party weekend. Mm. It is what it is. But I think the story became a bigger deal than it needed to be. And, you know, Weckdog was in on it the whole time. It's not like he was so caught off guard, like, holy hell. I'm sure of all guys to cause a scene, he would be the absolute last guy if they did do him dirty. But seems like this has been talked about for a while. Cora probably gave him a heads up. It happened. They've moved on. It is what it is. Now, the one thing I did want to mention on that we didn't have time to get to last episode is clearly that's how Nate and Rich feel, though. And so that's a part of this. Like, you can disagree with how players feel, and people could be like, oh, you know, and I'm more of the belief of, hey, you're in last place. You can't really be nitpicking at this point. But Nate and Rich obviously are free agents. They feel like that. That means something. That carries 100%. That carries some weight. And so as a fan, that's a little concerning of guys that you would want back in your rotation for next season.
That's 100% where I was coming from. With like, why not? I know it sounded a little dumb when I said, like, just let these guys have fun. That's not what I, you know, I don't mean to just
that's what them, it's all about. Know, well, it's about the kids. It's about the kids.
It's about the kids. Of course it's about the kids. That's what I meant. Let these guys have kids.
Yeah. Let these guys reproduce. The Red Sox have this weird thing where they don't let the players have kids. This actually isn't really publicized at all. Yankees, it's facial hair. Sox are like, when you're here, you can't have kids.
You do not have kids. If you already have kids, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Don't mention them once. Don't even think about bringing them to the ballpark.
Sorry. I don't remember what I was getting. Oh, I was more getting at the idea that, like, just let there be some solid clubhouse chemistry right now. Let everybody be on, like, go into the offseason with a good taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
Especially some free agents. It's a leave here going, like, man, and they did my dude dirty. And they also, you know, blindsided me a little bit that I was at home when I found out that my personal catcher was gone. And when it didn't even matter anymore, when we weren't in a postseason chase, I just think it's not a great tone to set. I think it felt a little tone deaf to how much he matters to those guys. And if this was a season that was going a little better, obviously this conversation doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, but this wouldn't have happened. I mean, they wouldn't have done this. He would have still been here pushing the cart. Did we get your thoughts on the home run cart? You think this is it? I know I talked about it with my dad, but
I was gone by then. It's got to be the end.
It has to, right? Yeah, bringing this back next year would be a little much.
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought it was going to be gone the second he was gone.
I think that also would have been a little much. Like, immediately, really? Like, bang, it's gone. I understand. But Veritek was a big part of it, too. It wasn't just Plawecki. Mm-hmm. And Tex, obviously. I think Tex's going to be here. Veritek is probably going to be a part of the Red Sox until he's dead. Let's be real, right?
You think he's going to be here for, like, decades?
Actually, now that I say that, he's probably going to get a manager position, isn't he? Yeah. If he had it his way, though, and I know Catherine has hinted at that he wants to be a manager, but if he had it his way, I don't think he would hate just being around the boys, being around Fenway. You know, anytime we see him at the park, he gets treated like he's one of the best players on the current roster, and he should. Mm-hmm. He's Jason Veritek. He's an icon here. So I think because of that, Tech's still here. They'll still do it, and you know, you got to ride out the season, but I'm ready for the next thing. Whatever the next celebration is, I kind of like the cowboy hat in Anaheim. It's the one cool thing that happens there. I mean, what else? What other? The home run jacket in Toronto is pretty cool. That's actually, I
think
that.
It's cool, but I don't want to copy any of
those. No, I'm saying I don't mean that as a copy. Yeah. I mean that as, like, I like the attire thing. I like to put something on. And who knows what that is. But, like, seeing JBJ the other night hit a home run for the Blue Jays, first off, that was weird. But Vladdy putting the jacket on him, I'm like, this year is so weird, dude.
You got Vasquez.
Vasquez popping champagne in the trop with the Astros. and JBJ's getting the jacket put on him by Vladdy. I saw, you know, Chavis tonight. Not that the Chavis thing doesn't really, but more. It's just it's just another guy. It's another guy that was here that's somewhere else. And that's why the Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs this year, because the Ice Horse isn't in town. That's obviously why.
I know. Dude, this one actually did feel weird, that it felt weird, if you can follow that sentence. Mm. Seeing Diekman pitch in the White Sox Southside City Connects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bizarre.
It's like the black with the white pinstripes. Mm. It's like Southside. I was like, what is that? Who? I can't think of a jersey that fits less on somebody.
That's what we called.
What are we doing?
It was crazy here in Southside City. That's what we called our wiffle ball team when I was growing up.
Southside City?
We were in the south side of Hingham. So it was Southside City with an S for city. How dumb is that?
S-I-T-Y?
Yes, so it would be triple S for the logo. We had someone make us a logo that was like three S's in like cursive form, and it looked really cool, I got to say.
Southside Hingham.
Southside Hingham, yeah.
Were you guys like throwing up?
A little bit different than the south side of Chicago, that's for sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
But anyway, moving on. We got season-ending hip surgery for Garrett Whitlock. I think a lot of people probably saw this coming. I probably, you know, thought they were going to shut him down, but he is getting surgery and should be ready for the start of spring training. Joey, I will ask you this, and I think we look at it the same way. What position should Garrett Whitlock be playing?
Reliever.
Yeah, right?
He's a reliever. It's I was going to jokingly jump in before you finished that question earlier, but yeah, I didn't think you were actually asking. Yeah, it's reliever.
It's got to be. He's got to be in the bullpen. And
yeah,
I just don't like that it's being pitched as like, hey, and who knows what the Sox are going to do next year. And in that interview that Barrett had with Cora, he was saying the same thing. It's like, well, bullpen wise, we got to see what we're doing with Witt and Houck. I'm like, bullpen
doing what?
Have them in the pen.
Like, I think they should keep throwing with their right hands.
Yeah.
And is that any other questions?
I think that should do it, right?
I think if you put either of them into the rotation, it's a little bit of a cop out. It's like saying, we didn't find anybody on the market we liked, so we put this guy in. It's like, no, there should be somebody out there. I think there's someone out there who you might like, you know? Because we talked about it a little bit on the last episode. You need two arms. You need at least two arms in that rotation.
Oh, I think you meant like as a person. Like, no, you can only have one arm and pitch.
Some people have one arm and pitch, but you need at least one.
Who was that dude for the Yankees that threw a no-hitter with one arm?
Yeah.
Abbott or something?
Yeah. Judd Abbott.
Judd Apatow?
Judd Apatow.
He threw a no-hitter for the Yankees. It was crazy, dude. Yeah. Jim Abbott. How crazy is that? Throws a no-hitter. He's got one arm. That's a little nuts. Now, I understand you only need one to throw, but, like, he can't even hold his glove. That's crazy.
I know. He had it, like, under his arm.
Yeah. That's a dog right there. If you're throwing a no-no with one arm and the Red Sox haven't had one in 14 years, this guy did it with one arm. Like, pick it up, guys. Come on.
Pretty crazy.
Anyway.
Pretty crazy stuff. No, but I'm saying you need at least two starting pitchers.
Oh,
right?
I'd say
going into next year.
At least four. Oh, you're saying add two?
The Boston Red Sox.
I'm saying two starters?
Need to add at least two starting pitchers. And to just pluck them out of your bullpen is not a fix, because now you just need two more relievers. You can't just like patch holes with things you already got. Like, how about you just keep the relievers, and you get some starters to be your starters?
That's how it should work.
It's not a crazy idea. I don't think so.
Garrett Whitlock this year, I didn't know the innings were this similar. 39 innings as a starter, 39.1 as a reliever. That's a little nuts.
Wow.
I mean, understandable that he had less starts, and starts go longer, Joey. I don't know if you knew that, but
they do.
4.15 ERA as a starter, 2.75 as a reliever. Do they have any more splits here? It would be nice if you got more splits. Batting average against as a starter, 2.61. Reliever, 1.79. OBP as a starter, 3.05. As a reliever, 2.11. OPS as a starter, 723. As a reliever, 547. So obviously all the numbers are better. And these numbers were significantly better before a couple of brutal outings out of the pen for him. So, I mean, these numbers are already drastic, but they were even further apart before he had a couple of tough outings. Obviously not at 100%. So Garrett Whitlock, reliever, don't mess with it. Do not mess with it. That was a clear issue. In terms of the list of mistakes for the 2022 Red Sox, there are several, but Garrett Whitlock being moved to the rotation, pretty high on the list.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it before it happened. It's one of those, like, we called it. Like, it's hard not to say I told you so's.
Yeah.
But we kind of just leave him there. And we tried it. This was the experiment year, you know. You already ran the experiment, and you have the results. You're looking at him right now, and like you said, it's even numbers. It's even innings. You know, you have as close as it could possibly be, sample size. You ran your experiment. It didn't work. Like, yeah. There's no need to have the conversation anymore. And granted, some of those starts, like, he was hurt. He was already showing signs of slowing down, and his hip was bothering him. I remember there were a couple starts where we saw him limping off the mound.
Dude.
And we're like, he's obviously limping, right?
He was out there acting like he, like, fractured something in his leg. But He's got some long legs on him because, like, he'll limp, and it's like he's on stilts. He's just, like, slowly coming off the mound, like, one, two, one, like, really taking his time. Yeah. But Garrett's a ITM alum. I keep forgetting that we had him on in spring training.
Me too.
That was a long time ago. Shout out to Brian for lining that one up. But yeah, that was a different. That feels like an eternity ago. I can't believe that was the same season.
That feels like a different guy, too.
I know.
Like, that's him, right?
Okay, yeah. That is him. But yeah, anything from this series that jumps out?
No.
Extremely forgettable. If you look back at this year, I think this series, considering the circumstances, the fact it's in Cincinnati, about as forgettable as it gets.
Yeah, I think Votto in the stands is probably the biggest one.
That was the coolest thing I saw. Next to Brian Baio getting out of bases loaded, no outs. That was nice.
Right. Yep.
It's just cool to have a Baio on your team. Like, and we'll see. Obviously, we'll see how he does next year and moving on into his future. And I think too much is being made. Let's cut it with the Pedro comps. Enough of that. Cora alluded to that too. He had answered a question. He's like, we got to stop with this Pedro stuff. That's no more of that. But still, I think he gave up his first homer. From JP here. Brian Baio began his MLB career with no homers allowed in his first 44 and a third innings. Prior to Baio, it had been 46 years since a Red Sox pitcher began an MLB career with a homerless streak that long.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Did he say who it was?
Yeah, take a guess. It was in 1976.
Nope.
Rick Jones, of course.
Oh, did you say 76?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was 46 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, ugh. I thought you said 26.
Oh, right, because so, you would have had Rick Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That all adds up. Yo, Michael Walker was on my train.
No way.
It's kind of random.
He should have been there sooner. No. Oh, never mind. They're not playing.
No.
Never mind.
You know when you do a good old double take?
Mm-hmm.
Like he walked past me. I'm just like, what? like, what is Michael Walker doing here? He's starting.
What was that?
I don't know.
Is that a plane?
This might be it. This might be it for me. There is just crazy stuff going on outside.
There's been a lot of cars that have gone by, and they don't sound like that. Well,
I gotta apologize. I'm on the road, so I'm not in my nice, comfy studio setup, but this is tough. It's authentic, though, right? It's like, oh, okay, he's in the Bronx for a big four-gamer against the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's first thought is like, oh, well, it's authentic, you know.
Yeah, they're not pissed off at all.
He's being very authentic. I mean, that sounded like an alien spaceship. I don't know what just flew by your window, but you should not be near the window anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. But yeah, it was just funny seeing Walker, tall dude. My goodness, very tall dude.
Coming from Boston, huh?
Yeah, Boston to New York, making the start on Thursday. So how about that? I didn't have anything else for this series. Baio. Was cool. Seabold gave up a bunch of dinkers. He didn't look that bad. He'll get a few more starts probably. But Sox didn't do really anything in game two. JD, oh, you got to send him, by the way. Fabulous.
I know.
Send him, bro. Come on. These games mean nothing. JD had a chance at an inside-the-park home run. Send him.
If he killed a guy in the outfield and then got an inside the Parker.
It looks as like an inside the Parker in the box score. I just think any chance of sending a guy or getting any risk that can be taken in these last 14 games, just do it. Who cares? You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Send them. Get the arm going.
Yeah. Send JD constantly. Past every base.
Yeah. Yeah. Get as much out of this contract as you can. This is it. Make him
earn. I don't care if he's rounding first and the shortstop has the ball standing at second. Send him past second. Don't slide. Just keep running, baby.
You got 2 weeks left of JD. Lead him off. Get him a bunch of at-bats. Mm-hmm. He was taking grounders at first the other day. Have him play first. It's a terrible idea
catcher,
because
bro.
He's
put him
take
in gear.
Games
I don't
from
care.
Casas, but just do it. Yeah, have JD catch. Have him pitch.
I don't care.
Squeeze as much out of this guy in the last 2 weeks of this contract as you possibly can and send him.
Have him write a memoir for his his hitting coach stuff.
Yeah.
To write it all down.
Have him give Fenway tours. Get as much out of this guy as you possibly can.
In Fenway tours. Do you think JD would be a good Fenway tour host?
No, I think he'd be terrible.
I think he'd be terrible.
I don't think he'd
want to do that
JD,
at all.
JD reminds me of certain buddies that if it's not something that they really want to do, they are so out. Like, there's no middle ground of yeah, all right, we'll do that. Yeah, why not? I'll go there. If it doesn't have to do with hitting, JD does not want to do it. He's like, I'm so fine not doing it. So get as much out of him as you can. Fenway tours.
I could see him being a good peanut guy or something. Like doing that. I could see him having a smile on his face, giving somebody some peanuts or something.
Yeah. Whatever job he would have, he wouldn't want to move much.
That's true.
JD as a ball boy would be kind of funny down the line.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him, dude. I do a job where I don't move much, and that's on purpose.
I know. Not moving at all right now.
No, this is sick. This is hard work.
This is sick. Not even moving. Yeah, I think that's it for our series recap. Again, enormous series out of the Big Sense, and we are going to come back. No series MVPs. Did we make that rule of a split? There's no MVPs for a split.
Only wins.
Only wins. Coming back with our closing thoughts here on episode 62 of Inside the Monster.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
We are back on episode 62 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster. Rich Hill was number 62 in 2015. Remember? Do you remember when Mookie robbed a homer to finish off a complete game for Rich Hill? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
It was in 2015. It was like last week of the season. I remember going to Baseball Tavern that night. That was a fun night. I was dancing, Joey. I used to dance down there. Oh, I downstairs used to dance.
Yeah, I'd say last week of 2015, I was probably
probably dancing.
Probably dancing somewhere too.
This is kind of a forgettable number. Not like that surprising, yeah. 62.
John Lester, 06 Lester.
Yeah, early Lester. I can't say I remember him wearing 62. That had to be. How many games do you think he wore? If you get this right, I will send you a pizza whenever you want it. How many games did John Lester pitch in 2006 with the Red Sox?
8.
15.
Can you give me the pizza anyway?
Like, I'm going to need that pie, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to order a pie right now, actually.
Might as well. Lester had a 4-7-6 and 15 starts in 2006. He was 7-2, which says a lot about the offense that year. Speaking of 2006, it's been 16 years to the day that David Ortiz set the record for most Red Sox home runs in a season. So, shout out Poppy.
Shout out Poppy. You think, we have a series preview. We'll talk about it there, talk about records and whatnot.
Yeah, some good judge discussion. We're staying ahead of them with our episodes. Oh, Shout out to Jake. Judge. Jake Peavy's helping. Definitely helping the case there by giving us episode 61. Now we're on to 62. We're going to finish ahead of Judge. I think he's on pace for 66. Mm-hmm. We'll be good. Yeah, it might get close, actually.
66. There's no way he hits 66.
That
he gets 66.
He's well. I've been following our buddies over at Talking Yanks, and they update it every night. So he might be 65 now.
If he gets 66, he
will you send me a pizza?
No. I would never do that. No.
Okay.
Good. Don't ask again.
Okay.
I'm never going to send you a pizza.
Yeah.
If loud and clear.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, if he gets 66 or gets close to that, if he gets like 64, 65, he should just juice it up and go for 73 at that point.
I think he's got to, what does he have to do? He's got to hit like a homer every game to tie Bonds the rest of the way. We'll save the judge talk. We got some judge talk for the preview. But closing thoughts time. This is so random, but this is what closing thoughts is. I had a nightmare the other day.
That
Rafael Devers disappeared. That he just completely disappeared, and there was a search for him, and it was like a nationwide search. Like, it was all over the place. They were trying to find him, and they couldn't find him. And so I went through the real emotions, Joey, of Devers not being on the Red Sox. He was presumably dead.
Presumably dead.
Hopefully, again, these are nightmares is what happens. I don't want to even say that. But I went through the emotions of him not being on the team, and it was the scariest thing ever. It was like going in the upside down, no way to get out, and it's just, it's a dark place that can't happen now. Because I had that nightmare, Haim needs to extend Rafael Devers, preferably this offseason, and for the rest of his career. So I just, the worst is when you go through those emotions, like you go through the real emotions of what the thing is, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, all right, cool. I actually, this is so stupid, but when I woke up, I like looked on Twitter just to make sure. I was like, is there a search for Devers going on right now?
Like, just in case like you heard it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, through like, your neighbor's wall, like heard the news loud or something.
I'm like, all right, good. There's no, Twitter's not going off about Raffy disappearing. So yeah, it's a random closing thought, but it was the first time I had seen the Red Sox without Devers, and it's scary. So that can't happen.
Dude, I don't remember the last time I've had a nightmare as an adult. I have dreams pretty often, but nightmare as an adult, those are few and far between for me anyway.
I don't know what's going on. Last night, like our place was flooding, and I like couldn't get out. What's going on?
That was a dream too. That wasn't.
Yeah. No. That didn't happen.
Okay.
No. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Hey, I'll report back on what happens tonight. We'll see.
Yeah. Jeez.
I know.
Yeah, let us know. See a therapist or something. I don't know what to tell you.
Have to start talking to somebody. But I guess I'm talking to somebody
about these dreams, dude.
I know.
Yeah, so I had a dream that I was killing all these little animals.
Yeah.
And my closing, I mean, it's just going to be Nola, dude. Let's just talk about Nola for like another hour.
How was it?
Dude, Nola's awesome.
I know you mentioned when you hopped on, but like, I didn't know that it's like a big like party place. Like that's, you kind of mentioned that.
Yeah. So I found out. So our plan was to go to somewhere we could do some gardening.
Mm.
'Cause that's how we all met.
Yeah.
We met at the fence. Actually, we were all gardening together.
Yeah.
Or not to get just near each other. And, I said, hey, go Sox. And they were like, you like the Red Sox?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah. And then we all became friends. So we were looking for somewhere to garden. And when we got there to New Orleans, we were like, this is not like Orleans, France at all.
A little different.
Which is where our gardening group goes to garden every year for our annual trip. And so instead we just drank for 5 days. that town is ridiculous, dude. That town's ridiculous. So before we went out on the town at all, we went to like just this like little market. Like, you know, you long stay in a hotel, you got to get the amenities. You know, you got to get some waters for the room, you know, get some beer for back at the place. Do your thing. You know what I mean? Mm. Get settled in. And we're waiting in line, and the woman in front of us has like 8-inch platform boots and like fishnets and a tutu and a corset. And we're looking at each other like, geez, freak, huh? And then we went out on Bourbon Street that night, and immediately we're like, wait, I think we were in the wrong in that situation. I think that's a very normal person here.
It is.
And I think we are the weirdos, not her. And then by the end, I mean, we totally were like, yeah, okay, that's what you do here. You go nuts. There's no rules. It's a lawless place. And I don't know how anybody lives there. It seems like a place that you visit. and then leave. As we were like getting on the plane, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, I couldn't have done another night. I don't know
I'm
what would happen.
You were there as long as you were. Hey, you saw Tommy Brady get a W though. That's pretty cool.
I did. The game was awesome. I mean, well, the game kind of stunk, to be honest with you. It was like really low scoring. It was like 3-3 in the
third quarter.
The fight
must have been kind of nuts.
The fight was crazy. We were immediately like, that's going to be the tell from this game. Like, that's going to be the headline out of this game. But it was cool, man. The Superdome is huge and beautiful. It was my first NFL game ever.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Nice.
Yeah. So that was a cool thing. Got to see Tommy. Got to see Jameis. The groom was a surprise to him. He's a big Jameis fan. He happened to bring a Jameis jersey that he just bought.
That's funny.
So it was like pretty perfect timing there. Things are expensive at NFL games. People talk about like, oh, you go to a ballpark and like, oh, things or whatever. I went to go grab like food and drinks and come back. It was me and two other folks, and I spent well over $100.
Yeah.
It's
well, I mean, they only got eight of those a year. That's one thing that's crazy. You look at some of these stadiums, and you get eight games a year at that stadium. I get that there's concerts and all that, but for like the main purpose, it's not even double digit games, unless you're like the Patriots for that run where you'd get a couple playoff games too. But still,
sure, yeah, but even then, yeah, it's like this thing is here for
max 10.
A handful of. Yeah, max 10 events. And then, like, yeah, like you said, like, yeah, Country Fest and, yeah, Garth Brooks
country,
is in
yeah.
town. Yeah, you love Country Fest, dude. You're a huge Country Fest guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was awesome, man. It was good stuff. The groom broke his arm.
Nice.
I lost my glasses. So, successful trip.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, he broke his arm and is refusing a cast because he doesn't want to get married in a cast. Like, he doesn't want to have the weddings next week.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't have my wedding photos in a cast.
Eesh.
So
it's just gonna be dangling.
He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm just gonna deal with it. He's like, and then they go to their honeymoon. They leave for Paris the next day. He's like, I'll just deal with it when I get back.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I think it feels like a jerk. I mean, you can't really go home to your fiance and be like, hey,
yeah,
I'm a doofus, and now we gotta have these wedding photos on our wall of our home for the rest of our lives, where I have an arm cast.
It's gotta grind it out.
Yeah,
got no option. But alrighty,
yeah,
I'm glad you survived to a certain extent, and we are back in business with the series preview coming up next of Red Sox Yankees from the Bronx, where you heard all these beautiful sirens during this episode. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. Go Sox, kid.
Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.